Now I invite you should stay on stage. And also, Ugla, Barbara Wieland, Ola Möller, and Cecilia. You're welcome. Yeah, then first I invite you to some brief comments on the report, what you think from your perspective is the most important. And maybe I start with Barbara, who have traveled far.
Okay, come here. Thank you. Yeah. Not traveled that far, no. Luckily, but we're traveling far tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
So first of all, thanks very much to EBA for having me here. And it was actually a pleasure to read that report. So compliments to the three authors that I think have put together a very important document that summarizes arguments why animal health is so important in livestock development and actually using livestock as a vehicle out of poverty for millions of people around the world. I think the report very nicely summarizes in a very approachable way, also for people that are not too familiar with animal health issues, that there is a need to focus on these topics. And being a veterinarian, having worked in animal health in the developing world for a few years now, I'm really pleased to see that coming, because I think that has been missing for a long time. I think sort of as a key message to me that comes out of that report is that, and it's also very honest, sort of saying there are still gaps in knowledge that we have, and that's maybe also the veterinary profession to blame to a certain extent, that over the years we haven't managed to highlight or to communicate enough the role of especially endemic diseases, these chronic diseases that are a burden. There has been for a long time a strong emphasis on combating epidemics like avian influenza, rinderpest, Besteputirimina, and I'm not saying they're not important, but because of that, a lot of all the chronic diseases, the importance of those and the impact they have on poverty, or actually not allowing people moving out of poverty, has been neglected. So in that sense, I'm very happy about that. So it actually shows the untapped potential livestock can have in development. And given that today is International Women's Day, so I think there's a lot of entry points to strengthen the role of women. And I think maybe something that didn't come out very much in the report or wasn't explicitly mentioned, but it's the role women have in livestock production. So when we look at, for example, in poultry production, Jonathan mentioned that, but also in small ruminant production, a lot of the burden of the work that's being done is actually done by women. And the authors mentioned the role of zoonotic diseases in that. And actually, a lot of the activities women do are the most risky ones in terms of exposure to zoonotic diseases. So here, for example, I think about women look after sick animals, whereas men take the healthy animals on pastures for herding. So a lot of time, the sick animal stays near the homestead. It's the women, or especially in a study we did in Ethiopia, that we found that it's mainly women's cleaning the barns. It's women assisting in kidding and lambing and calving, so they're exposed to all these zoonotic diseases. And so there's a lot of opportunities there. Another area where women can come in would be the animal health service delivery, and I think that was mentioned. It's one of the key aspects to be looked at. And I think there's a huge untapped potential to involve women in that. And that brings me to the last point I would like to make, where Sweden can contribute. I think Sweden would be a really good and credible role model to strengthen women's role in livestock production. And I hope we'll have more opportunities later to discuss that.
Thank you very much. Yes, we will have more opportunity. I should have said before we started here that we will have this round our comments and then some questions and answers in this group. And then we will all have sandwiches at 12:30. And we will have our sandwiches here. But invite you to comment and to participate in the discussion from the floor. I hope that will work out well. And then the idea is the plan is that we should end finish at 1:00. So having said that, I give the floor to you now. Cecilia, and you have the Swedish policy perspective, or?
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. With strong support from the whole of the ministry, the relevant parts. I'll get back to that. For those of you who might have missed it, we had elections in 2014, and the Minister for Rural Affairs was integrated into a super ministry for enterprise and innovation. And we deal with very important matters concerning the area we're talking about today. For instance, global food security, animal health and welfare. We also deal with OECD and FAO. They're all at our ministry. And Ms. Bachtermann, who is the State Secretary to the Minister for Rural Affairs, she had originally planned to attend this interesting presentation, but at very short notice, she had to do some duty travel. But she's fully briefed on the report and its importance. And since most people, poor people, depend on agriculture, including raising livestock, and of these, the majority is constituted of women, this timely report shows clearly the interconnectedness between human and animal health and welfare. And as has already been said, this is March 8th. One day we acknowledge the other half of humanity's participation in global affairs. And we all have to work to include all, women and men, in our efforts. And women and men must have the same possibilities to change society and lives. That is democracy and the human right. And equal rights are a guiding light for a modern, inclusive state and key to economic, social, environmental sustainability. And I don't know if some of you possibly, I'm sure, Ulla and Mats, you read FAO documents, but they did a very interesting calculation in 2010. If women had access to the same resources as men, 150 million people would be lifted out of poverty, which I think, 150. Because although many countries have been able to reduce the number of people suffering from hunger and poverty, we still have 793 million, and that is still way too many. And work to ensure global food security must continue until hunger has been eradicated. At the same time, which is a spin-off effect of people doing better, rising incomes increase the demand for meat, which in many cases will be produced intensively, which increases the importance of efforts to improve animal health. Good animal health, good animal husbandry leads to improved animal health, lower utilizations of antibiotics, as mentioned by Ulf, and more productive animals. And this has been the Swedish model for many years. And that it works, it can be seen from the fact that Sweden, one example, has the fastest growing pigs in the European Union without all the antibiotics and with good animal health. And we think it's evident that well-functioned animal health control systems, as well as reliable veterinary services, including extension services that reach women, which are very important, are required for achieving economic growth for livestock producers in low-income countries. However, as also pointed out by the report, more statistics on how animal health influences productivity are needed. As from 2017, we have Swedish chairpersons, both in the OECD Committee for Agriculture and in the Health Committee. Both are civil servants, and I'm happy to say that we have the chair of the OECD Agriculture Committee with us today, so I'm sure she will be happy to answer questions. I also have very knowledgeable and expert colleagues from the Department for Animal Health. We also have the person, Maria, who deals with FAO. So we're a strong team from the ministry today. And we will use these OECD positions to firm up the factual platform for investing in animal health and combat antimicrobial resistance and to raise awareness of these issues. We have asked, or Sweden has asked to be a case in the OECD work in reviewing the Swedish innovation, agriculture, productivity and sustainability, which will be part of the Swedish food strategy. Animal health, as has been pointed out, is closely connected to human health, Most of new infections are zoonoses. Promoting good animal health will benefit human health as well. And you mentioned trade. I'm not the most competent person to speak about trade. I have good colleagues on that. But I will say that the topics taken up in this report is something that Sweden works to include in trade negotiations, because, you know, trade negotiations are conducted within the European Union. We always lift the aspects of animal health, and we have worked very hard to include the combat against antimicrobial infection, as we all call them, superbugs. We don't want them here, and the best way to keep our good position is to see that others don't have it either. And a key success factor in Sweden has been the intensive and concrete cooperation between animal and human health sectors at all levels, local, regional, and national. And if you go outside of Sweden, this is not a given. If you want an example that I sometimes take is if you take dentistry and doctors. I mean, teeth are in the head. They belong to the body, but these two sectors don't always talk to each other. And I can tell you that the ministries for health and the ministries for agriculture are usually not the strongest ministries in governments. So they each feel that they have a tough time going to the Ministry of Finance. And I think it would pay off if they would get together and do it together. And it is our responsibility to share the knowledge that we have in Sweden that we've gained over many years. And as the report mentions, Sweden, through CEDA, is very well placed in filling some of those investment gaps that limits needed progress. But as I said, it's not only health and agriculture ministries that need work well together for success, but other ministries, finance, development, infrastructure, of course, in close cooperation, as again mentioned by the report, with the private sector and civil society. And recognizing the work, the importance of work at the highest level, nationally and globally, was one of the major drivers for Sweden to work for several years to get the UN General Assembly to adopt a resolution committing countries to step up the work to contain antimicrobial resistance. And in this context, it can be noted that the World Bank, this is an entity that is very focused on numbers, and I think you can rely on the numbers that they come up with. They calculated that the cost for implementing both functioning human, you know, the international health regulations, and animal health system, which is the OIE's pathways, would not cost even 1% of the damage that antimicrobial resistance could cause to the global economy. So good health pays for us all. And sustained efforts must be carried through at the global level through specialized agencies, FAO, OIE, WHO, and others. And you mentioned Rinderpest. It was the work of FAO with governments that Rinderpest was eradicated in 2010. This is the kinds of things that we need to continue doing. And we are, of course, as Sweden, committed to the fight against hunger and poverty. And at the ministry, we see improving animal health as a major pathway. Thank you.
Thank you very much for a fantastic uptake of the report. The two of you, I think you have really studied it and gave very, very elaborate comments. So now it's for CEDA to comment. I will come back to you with questions later on, because I think we have heard very, very, very clearly that what should be done, and it's very, very important, but how?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Feels like I really don't have much to add to these very good comments on the report. I, of course, agree with everything that has been said, but maybe I can add a few more points, and then more from a personal and from a CEDA perspective. As I said, I think this report is splendid. It's very clear. It's very precise in its analysis and conclusions on the importance of animal health from several perspectives, both human, economic, social, environmental, and so on. Actually, I would argue that you can add a lot of more SDGs to what is relevant for working with animal husbandry in general and animal health in specific. Number six, you know, with the rapid urbanization we see today, especially in South, We also see the rapid urbanization of animal husbandry and all the problems that come with that, including the problems with drinking water. Number 11, we have sustainable cities, closely linked to what I said before, but we know from, for instance, the MECARN program, the challenges of animal husbandry in rapidly growing urban areas, especially in the poor areas where people live so closely together, as we mentioned before. We have number 12, which, from a more personal perspective, I think is also very important on this issue about animal husbandry and animal health, sustainable consumption. With a strong focus lately, especially in the Western world, on the high, maybe too high, meat consumption, I think it's vital for us all to work, from a personal perspective, to balance this very negative and simplified picture of the damaging meat production globally. There is, of course, a lot of problems with eating too much meat, but it's mainly a Western problem. It's mainly a middle and high income country problem. We must work very strong and very hard to avoid that poor farmers become victims of this this problem, which is, as I said, mainly a problem for us to manage. Just as a conclusion, maybe, I would like to say that I think the report describes in a clear and convincing way, as I said, how animal health is not and should not be seen as a separate sector or as a separate subject matter with a too narrow focus, but rather as an issue that cuts across several different thematic areas. And for me, this is very important. And for CEDA, this is very important, because this is the same starting point as CEDA has as a starting point, to take the poor people's perspective. They don't see their living conditions in separate, narrow sectors and so on. They see their livelihoods, and their animal husbandry and animal health is a vital and important part, but not a separate project, but a part of their overall life. And I think this is the main thing that I take with me from this report, which is very important to continue working with. Thank you.
Thank you very much. But they do need veterinary service.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I have a few examples, but I'll come back to that.
Maybe you would like to. Would you respond a bit before I start to put questions? Anything that you particularly.
Thank you for all the sweet words. There was a mild criticism from Barbara Wieland about that we haven't developed the gender aspect enough, and I can agree on that. And I think we that are working on the ground on this, I can assure you that we have gender dimensions in our research. For instance, Elisabeth Lindahl sitting there working in Tajikistan and on farmers in the city and we stratified that in the gender aspects because women were most dealing with the cows and so we do that. But it could be emphasized in the report more. I agree on that, and I think indeed, given we heard from the super administrator here that we have a feministic foreign policy, and I think that that could be an area that Sweden really work hard on and profiling ourselves in this area. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Maybe I will start with one question. When having gone through this exercise to promote this report and read drafts over and over again, I've had a question that you have answered very well. You have described very well the importance of animal health and the various aspects of this. We've heard that also from commented here, but it's a bit difficult to get an assessment. It lacks an assessment of what is the state of affairs in middle-income and low-income countries when it comes to animal health systems. Is it in a very, very bad shape? How interested are they themselves? How active are they in your institute, in FAO and other places? And sort of the needs perspective from the middle-income and low-income countries themselves, from people, but also what are governments doing? Do they give a good priority to this, or is it haphazard what is happening? Should somebody from the panel, you from Ethiopia, what about that perspective? What is the status of things in the South?
I think that's a very interesting question, and the answer is very unspecific. It varies a lot between countries. That's what I see. There is some countries that start to realize that animal health is important and that the livestock sector is important, so that the sector gets more emphasis. And as soon as the livestock is in discussion, animal health does pop up quite quickly. So, for example, in Ethiopia, it has received a lot of traction over the last couple of years, last but not least because of the growth transformation plan that has been put in place. And as part of that, there's the livestock master plan that has been developed, and that really tries to strengthen the livestock sector, and so with the ultimate aim to access international markets. The same is happening in Tanzania. So it is these sort of high-level policy documents that can give a push to the sector. But otherwise, it varies a lot, and it depends a lot on veterinary service as well. And there is some weak points that I see in lot of government veterinary services, and that has to do that often they are understaffed and that they struggle to retain the good staff as well. And then there's countries, especially in Western Africa, where there's simply a lack of vets because they don't have vet schools themselves. So when you go to Senegal, the vet school there is a great institution, but they have to educate vets for 14 countries because they don't have a vet school in their own countries. So, and I think, and then when you go to Mali and you want to work with veterinarians, you struggle to find vets because there aren't many. And I think these are some really key issues that also need to be addressed. So it varies.
And what about the colleagues that you meet in the FAO and in other organizations?
Well, I totally agree that it varies. And I think the entry point is that there has to be an idea for the farmer that something can change. If you do not come into contact with some positive aspects, you just keep on the way you've done. But if you do, and it can go very quickly, I mean, we have the mobile phone revolution. You can just rent a mobile phone and check what the prices are in different markets and go to the right one. And you can also, there are projects where you can actually contact an agricultural college and get an answer for what is ailing your animal or your plants by just sending a photo. And so you get these kinds of things. And the thing is that what a government has to really work at is, because this will create larger inequalities, because some people will embrace this and go forward. And there are so many schemes. I met this younger person who is doing sort of practical MBAs for entrepreneurs in Africa. And it was focused on what they were actually trying to achieve in their business, but giving them the tools to do it in a more professional way. So when you see that there is a possibility, there will be people who will take advantage of it. But you have to be careful, because the people who for some reason cannot take advantage of it, you need to keep those in your actions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jonathan.
I think at an international level, we need to recognise that OIE have the performance of veterinary services measure. So that has been done in about 50 different countries. And that is linked with World Bank investments in this area. The other example that I think is quite useful is the way that IECA have functioned in Latin America, where they have strengthened animal, plant and food safety systems through public-private partnerships, and that's been funded by the Inter-American Development Bank. Where there's a weakness, and this goes back to your comment about the strength of the agriculture and health sectors in government in general, is that we don't then have data about how much it costs to have an animal health system, and we don't have data about the outcomes of that system in terms of improving animal production. And without those data, we're always going to be behind the piece in terms of presenting good arguments to the finance director about why it's important to invest in this part. So the human health side have an accounting system that's been well developed since about 2000 with OECD. Animal health is still in its infancy in this area. And I think we shouldn't be aiming for an animal health system. I think we should be aiming for a one health system.
Yes.
We have too many animals and too many people now to say that we can separate the two. And some of our big problems at the moment are about how we interact with animals. So I think there has to be a bit of a mindset change in terms of how we deal with that problem.
That is your first comment, assessment of efficiency that you would like to have.